The title of this, the message tonight is called A Strange Way to Save the World. Shalom Peace. Just ask you to bow with me for just a moment in a short prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share this message with your people. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading tonight actually is on the back of the bulletin, and it's from John 14:27, and I'd like to ask if someone would read that for us out loud. Mary, go ahead.
I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't fragile, like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid.
Thank you. Christ didn't come into the world to bring about a worldly concept of peace, but a peace that offers so much more than we can ask or imagine. Don't we all long to have peace in our lives? We long to be free of strife and static at work and at home, as a nation, and sometimes even within ourselves. As long as we're in this world, however, there will be troubles around us and among us. We only have to turn on the television or click on Facebook to be reminded of a world full of unrest. Aleppo, Turkey, refugees, Zika, Ebola, wildfires, hurricanes, drought, kidnapping, trafficking, crashes, addictions, depression. Everywhere we turn, there's a great need for peace. The peace the world offers is one that's dependent on broken people being nice to one another. Or it can be an external peace that's defined by our circumstances. But the coming of Christ offers us a different kind of peace. One we can experience in the midst of and in spite of our troubles. It's the kind of peace that Paul and Silas had in Acts 16. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas had been tooling around Philippi, Roman colony, and some business owners got mad at them for taking away their source of income, and they stirred up the people and the magistrate against them. They were ordered to be stripped and beaten, and after they had been severely flogged, as it says, they were thrown into prison. And not only were they thrown into prison, but they were placed in an inner cell, guarded, with their feet in shackles, and on top of that, placed in stocks. And yet, or as Catherine mentioned several Sundays ago, nevertheless, these same men did what? Did they yell for a lawyer? No. They called out to God. The scripture says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. It is the same peace that John Wesley witnessed among the Moravians on board a ship to America that he documented on Sunday, January 25th, 1736. As he states himself, at 7, I went to the Germans, the Moravians. In the midst of the song wherewith their service began, the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly sung on. The peace that we witness in Paul and Silas and in the Moravians John Wesley encountered is not an externally defined peace, but an eternal peace. This is shalom peace. What do I mean by shalom peace? Shalom is a Hebrew word that derives from salam, salem, shalom. It means to be safe and sound, perfect and complete. It signifies a sense of well-being and of harmony both within and with others. It's a state of calm without anxiety or stress. It is satisfaction, and as one place defined it, set at one again. Shalom peace for us begins when we accept Christ as Lord of our lives. As Jack Wellman stated, we were once enemies of God, but through Jesus' atoning work at Calvary, the hostility between us and God was placed on Jesus. Because of him, we've now received reconciliation with God. He not only took away the penalty of what we deserved as sinners, but he gave us what he deserved, and that is a right standing with God, where we receive all the blessings and favor that he was meant to have. Now that's good news, and this should give us peace of mind, right? But how does that help us in the right here, right now, messy, everyday, ordinary lives that we lead? We live in a fallen world with our own humanity that pulls and tugs at us all the time. How do we gain that peace that Paul had, or that the Moravians had, in spite of their circumstances? What they did is they desired and pursued a daily personal relationship with Jesus. In Revelation 3:20, Christ says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." Shalom peace is entered into through a day-to-day relationship with Christ. We need to welcome him in every day. It is his very presence that gives us wholeness. Have you noticed that wherever Christ went in the New Testament, his very presence made people healed and whole? His presence made the blind see, the deaf hear, the homeless and naked tormented made sane, set at one end. The unwelcome and the undervalued restored to society. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For it is he who is our peace." When we fellowship with Christ, we're fellowshipping with peace. It's when we're focused on Christ that we forget about the storms that surround us. And we can focus on him through prayer and thanksgiving. It's the very practice we see in our own Lord during his ministry here on earth. Christ models this to us in the New Testament. Have you ever noticed how he often withdrew to pray? He spent significant time in communion and communication with the Father. His daily relationship with the Father allowed him to remain the I in the midst of the hurricane. Christ was surrounded by turmoil. Much of the time, Jesus had crowds and throngs of people coming to him and surrounding him. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to listen to him, to ask him questions. They looked to him to feed them. They invited him to dinner. And some came to test him, betray him, and even kill him. The world told him, "Oh, you better avoid these people. It's not good for you. Certain cities, oh, they're dangerous. There's danger lurking ahead." But his focus wasn't on the wind and the waves of the world. He was focused on communion with his Father and trusted that he would provide what he needed. Jesus practiced the habit of prayer. It's actually mentioned at least in 5 passages, twice in Mark, twice in Luke, and once in Matthew. It also mentions in Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. And there is another characteristic. It was his thankfulness in prayer. There are actually five more passages in the New Testament that talks about him giving thanks to the Father. It says and reminds us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Actually, sorry, let me back up. If you remember from Aaron and Lenora, who a few months ago were talking about the five marks of a Methodist, well, two of those marks are what we see our Lord Jesus Christ doing. A Methodist gives thanks, and a Methodist prays constantly. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 reminds us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I encourage you to practice these habits. I encourage you to share any worries or fears or anxieties with the one who loves you and knows you and already knows these things and desires to take that burden off of you. Do it every day, as many times a day as you need, until you receive that peace, that shalom peace in your heart. What I'm going to do this evening is offer up a prayer. I'm going to open in prayer, but then I'm going to give us some space, because I want to ask all of us to consider asking and welcoming Christ in the door, the fellowship with us, and tell him what's on our hearts. And it means being honest, because maybe you don't know of anything and you just say, Lord, I don't know what to say. But you know. Or maybe you're upset with him, and that's okay to share that. Lord, I just don't get why you let this happen. I'm upset. I'm sad. Or maybe you just want to give thanks. But I want to give us that space tonight for all of us to welcome him in, to share what's on our hearts, and perhaps have that moment of peace. And then I'll close with thanksgiving. Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, you said Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. We hear you. We open that door and we welcome you in. We want to sit down with you and share with you, because you're the one person who loves us unconditionally. You already know what's on our hearts, and you just want to have the opportunity to lift the burdens or to share with us praise, thanksgiving. Lord, we welcome you into this space, and we share whatever is on our hearts honestly with you. Lord, we give thanksgiving that you're a God who hears us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for always pursuing us and waiting at the door, over and over and over again. Lord, please remind us through your Holy Spirit that you're there. I'm right here. I'm just waiting for you to open the door every day. And I'll come and dwell with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saying I will never leave you or forsake you. Thank you for the promises we have in you. It is through your holy name that we pray these things in Jesus' name.